Tannenbaum by Nightfall Twin.
Chicken tagine,
the old man's voice carried over the din of the pub as he pronounced the word with a hard G instead of a soft one. He prodded the menu board next to the door, a scowl knitting together his bushy eyebrows.
What the bloody hell is a tagine? Tom, it's Thursday. Where's the cottage pie?
Hannah sighed, casting her eyes to the rough beams that ran the length of the ceiling, before forcing a smile.
Tom isn't here, Oscar. He sold the leaky to me 6 months ago.
She gestured to one of the empty tables.
I told everyone the menu might change over time. I wanted to try something new.
But I always have cottage pie on Thursdays.
I understand that, Hannah said slowly. And I'll bring back cottage pie another week. Today, it's a Moroccan chicken tagine.
The old man made an angry noise and waved his hand at her before marching over to the fireplace. As he passed the bar, she could hear him grumble about meddlesome women making
a right mess of a perfectly sensible pub menu,
and how he was never going to come back. Of course, that was a lie, because she knew he would be back for Friday fish and chips, something she hadn't changed off the menu, like always. Oscar's short-term memory was fairly predictable. Giving the bar a wipe with the cloth in her hand, Hannah bit her tongue to keep from mentioning that the dish of flue powder was for paying customers. She watched the old man plunge his hand into it, tossing a handful onto the flames before disappearing, the flash of green almost as huffy as he was.
Tough crowd?
Hannah turned to see Neville Longbottom setting a large cardboard box onto one of the stools. She tossed the cloth into the bucket sitting in the bar sink and nodded.
The old regulars don't like change.
Neville drew in a deep breath and pulled off his gloves.
His loss. Whatever you've got smells fantastic.
Well, I hope it does well as leftovers, because I'm looking at eating tagine for the next few nights if it doesn't sell.
She frowned and leaned on the bar to look over at the box.
Is that what I think it is?
Pulling a little notebook from his back pocket, Neville flipped through the pages and then turned it toward her.
Pine boughs twisted with holly for all the shelves and fireplace, and 3 bunches of mistletoe for the front door, the back door, and the archway to Diagon, yeah?
He slid his hand under one of the box flaps and pulled it open.
I had Hermione help with some of the preservation charms as a favor, so it should all last until Twelfth Night.
Unable to stop herself from a little clap of glee, Hannah came out from around the counter to have a look at the contents. She suspected that Granger also had a hand in charming the box to hold much more than it appeared, because the length of the twisted boughs was much longer than the box should have been able to contain. The smell of fresh pine wafted up from the box, and Hannah was instantly transported back to mornings with her family and tucking herself under the tree with her cousins to look up through the branches at all the twinkling fairy lights.
It all looks lovely, Neville. Thank you.
Hannah got to work, sending all the decorations around the bar, adorning all the empty spaces. He waved his wand over the box, shrinking it down before tucking it into his pocket. He slid onto a bar stool and tugged off his gloves. A few pine needles fell from the space between his cuffs and his gloves, and he carefully swept them into his hand, tucking them into the same pocket where the box had gone. Hannah shook her head. She had told him that sweeping the floor was no problem the last time he had trailed leaves across the floor, only to spend a good 10 minutes painstakingly picking them all up. She set a hot butterbeer in front of him.
How's the farm?
A grin spread across his face. His face always lit up when he was given the opportunity to talk about the farm that he'd acquired. It was tucked away in Lincolnshire, and he'd done quite well for himself. After what happened at the school, some had thought he'd go right into teaching, taking over the herbology class from Sprout. But she was ages from retirement, and he wasn't quite ready to be surrounded by all that stone and memories. Hannah had heard about it from Ernie, who always seemed to have his finger on every bit of hot gossip and rumor. But she found that hearing it from the source was much more enjoyable. At least there wasn't talk of potential wild parties and rumors of nude revelries that Ernie claimed he heard were happening, thanks to Luna Lovegood.
Spectacular! Gran is enjoying the vegetable patch, and we're supplying the trees for Hogwarts this Christmas.
Hannah clinked a glass of water against his hot drink in cheers and smiled.
That definitely calls for celebration. I know you've been babying those trees for ages now.
She leaned on the bar.
I hope you've set one aside for the leaky. I don't want to have to try and get one of those scruffy ones being sold outside the Boots down the road.
Of course, Neville grinned. You'll even be able to tell any Quibbler readers that it's noggle-free. Luna insisted on spending Saturday checking every tree. For my safety, of course.
He leaned over and snagged a pickled onion from the dish of bar condiments. Hannah felt something inside her pinch just a little, and was glad for the distraction of a new customer entering the tavern to hide her tight smile behind the action of taking menus to a table. While it was already known that Neville and Lovegood had parted ways from their brief relationship following the end of the war, she always wondered if the two were just biding their time until the right moment to rekindle. It was no secret to any of her friends that she liked Neville. They often teased her about it during Tuesday Hufflepuff game nights, Justin prodding her to make a move before it was too late. Except she could never manage to find a good moment. Turning back to the bar, Hannah watched as Neville finished off the dregs of the butterbeer, tipping the cup high as he leaned back on the seat. She took a deep breath, crossing the space and moving behind the bar to stand in front of him. Her heart thumped a mile a minute. She was going to ask him. Just a coffee, or maybe a lunch. Or maybe just a sandwich from that truck just outside the Leicester Square tube station. It would be cute, and they would sit together, chatting about anything and sharing a meal, and he would ask her to have a proper supper, and it would all be very romantic. Yes. Yes, she was going to ask him. Except what came out of her mouth was, "Chicken tagine for the road?" Neville looked startled, but he nodded, and it wasn't until after Hannah watched him walk out the door, paper bag in hand, that she scampered into the kitchen to bury her face in a dish towel and groan.
"Do you want me to ask him?" Justin asked, patting Hannah's hair.
Hannah tore her attention away from the program on his telly to look up at him. Her legs dangled over the armrest of the small sofa, her head resting against his thigh. She always arrived early to game night, mostly because it was easier to get all the food prepared and set out before Ernie got there and insisted on helping. That had only happened once, and she was never going to allow it to happen again. Justin still hadn't managed to get the spaghetti sauce stain off his ceiling.
"No!" Hannah pressed the heels of her hand to her eyes. "Do you know how that would look?"
Justin laughed.
"Can't say, but it's certainly better than just mooning about and not saying anything."
He nudged her hands out of the way and looked down at her, tapping the tip of her nose with his finger.
"If you don't try, he'll probably go find someone else."
She groaned and sat up.
"And if I do try and he says no, I'll never be able to face him again."
Justin caught her hand as he scooted to the edge of the sofa and stood up.
"Hannah, if he says no to you, he's not worth your time."
She pulled a face, then sighed. She knew Justin was right, but she wasn't about to tell him, and thankfully there was a knock at the door, Ernie opening it without waiting for an answer. Behind him, holding a stack of board games, was Susan and her husband Terry, who they'd granted pseudo-Hufflepuff status to through marriage. Hannah looked at the ceiling very briefly as Justin turned off the telly, before turning to the group, plastering a wide smile on her face.
"Who wants lasagna?"
Hannah's eyes popped open at the sound of a chair scraping across a wooden floor. At first, her sleep-groggy mind dismissed it. The old pub made such odd sounds all the time. But when the dragging sound echoed up the stairs and under the door to her room, she sat bolt upright. That was definitely not one of the sounds that she normally heard. Anyone who rented out one of the rooms knew that the pub itself was closed until 6 when it would open for breakfast. Not that she had a full inn. Reservations were few and far between these days, and she hoped, with the holidays approaching, she might be able to draw in some more reservations beyond the single room rented out by Bartholomew Chiswick on the 3rd floor. Not that she disliked Bartholomew, but his agreement with old Tom made her no money, and she really couldn't explain why she honored it. But she felt it would have been worse for her if she kicked the old man out. Thankfully, he just kept to a single. Grabbing one of her grand's old shawls, Hannah wrapped it around her shoulders and shoved her feet into a pair of ill-fitting rubber wellies that she used for taking out the trash. She slipped out of her room and carefully crept down the stairs, wand in hand. When she was on the midpoint landing, she pressed herself against the wall and squinted into the darkness. Her heart thumped wildly, and she could hear both Zacharias and Susan's voices in her head telling her how monumentally stupid she was for trying to deal with this on her own instead of calling one of them off their hit wizard shift. But if it was nothing, she'd feel even worse, and so, so foolish. Sucking in a deep breath, she waved her wand and all the lights in the pub went on at once. Of all the things or people she expected to see in the now illuminated room, Neville Longbottom dragging an enormous pine tree across the floor was definitely not one of them. He stared at her with wide eyes, and slowly lowered the trunk half down to the floor, before lifting his hands in an obvious show of surrender at being caught. For a long time, Hannah just stared at him, her eyes dropping briefly to the tree on its side and then back up to his face.
"I'm sorry, Hannah," he said before she could speak. "I was trying to be quiet."
"Trying to be..." She gave him a baffled look and then gestured to the tree. "This could have waited until a reasonable hour instead of sneaking in when everything's closed up." She looked toward the door and then back at him. "For that matter, how did you get in?" She was certain she set all the security wards that Terry had designed and Susan had implemented. It was part of her closing up routine. She set the dishes to wash and she banked the fire, and the last step was to turn the key and set the wards. All of her friends had been concerned about her living at a pub that doubled as an access point to Diagon, and, even though it was slowly closing down, Nocturne Alley. Intense security wards had been the compromise, and she'd been assured that no one could bypass them unless they had one of the deactivating keys, of which there were only two, hers and Susan's. The former was hanging on the hook up in her room. The latter seemed to be dangling from one of Neville's fingers. Hannah knew it was Susan's because the little beaded chain that she'd made still hung from the jump ring. "So you'll know what the key is for and won't have to think too much on it," she'd told Susan when she handed over the key.
"I was delivering poinsettias to the Ministry, and Susan suggested that I surprise you with your tree."
He lowered his hands and leaned over to set the key on the table.
"She said you'd really like waking up to find it down here."
Hannah felt her cheeks go hot, and she pressed her hands to her face. It seemed that Hufflepuff loyalty only went so far, and she was going to have a long talk with Justin about whatever he must have said to Susan that prompted this suggestion, because Hannah certainly hadn't said a thing about it to anyone but him. When she lowered her hands, Neville was still standing in the middle of the pub looking up at her, and with a resigned sigh, she tied the shawl more securely around her shoulders and descended the remaining steps. "Did you bring a stand for it?"
"That's the best part," he said, breaking out into a wide grin. "It's got stabilizing charms on it. Once it's upright, it'll be like it's rooted to the floor."
He gestured for her to come closer and gestured to the base of the tree. A whirling sparkle of magic circled around the trunk. Neville crouched down and gave the magic a prod with his fingertip before looking up at her.
"Plus, I spent the summer corresponding with a herbology master in Western Canada who'd perfected this charm for keeping trees from dropping their needles after being cut. So you won't have to spend the last days of the season endlessly sweeping them out from under the tree."
Despite having been woken up in the middle of the night, Hannah couldn't help but smile at his enthusiasm. She gave a little wave of her hand to the tree and then turned for the kitchens, flicking on a lamp over the stove. She dug out a pot and cracked open a bottle of butterbeer, setting it over the flame to warm. When she returned to the main room, the tree was upright and filling a good portion of the sitting area. Neville had moved a few tables to make space, and she thought about how she would probably end up rearranging everything so that all the tables had a good view of the tree once it was decorated.
"I'm sorry if you were frightened," he said after a moment of silence.
Hannah smiled and shook her head.
"You're lucky I just turned on the lights. I could have started hurling spells into the dark."
She pointed her wand to the kitchen and floated the pot of warmed butterbeer out to the bar, dividing the contents between two mugs. She pushed one over to him.
"Dunno, guess I thought..."
He trailed off, lifting the cup to his mouth, and Hannah could see the tips of his ears start to go pink.
"Thought what?"
He swallowed, and then blew out a breath.
"Thought maybe a grand gesture would get your attention."
He looked over at her. Hannah was in mid-sip of her drink, and thankfully was able to control herself long enough to not inhale the liquid, turning the whole thing into one giant coughing fit. She slowly set down the mug and used the shawl to wipe the sides of her mouth before looking at him. The earnestness of his expression made her pulse speed up, and she had to curl her hands into fists to keep them from shaking. She hadn't even noticed him start to move when his hand appeared to cover one of hers.
"Thought maybe you'd say something when I offered all those garlands, or when I never turned down whatever you offered for the road."
He smiled and inclined his head toward the tree.
"Tended and trimmed that thing like it was my own child just because I wanted you to have the best tree of the lot."
"It's a lovely tree, Neville," she said softly. "I really do like the tree." Her gaze dropped down to the hand that covered hers.
"I think I might like the person who brought it a lot more, though." "Good," Neville smiled. "I was hoping that Susan was right about all that."
Hannah groaned and pulled her hand from his, covering her face. However, before she could find a way to sink into the floor in a puddle of embarrassment, she felt herself being gathered into a warm embrace. The scent of pine on his jacket tickled her nose, and although she was truly mortified that Susan had said anything, Hannah couldn't help but draw in a deep breath. He smelled of Christmas and outdoors and nature. There was something truly wonderful about all of that.
"If it helps," he said after a moment, "my friends have been telling me to ask you out ever since I started talking about the decorations I was providing for the Leaky."
Hannah couldn't help but laugh and looked up at him, her hands lowered from her face and lying flat against his chest.
"Mine too. Every game night."
She wrinkled her nose at the thought.
"I'm almost certain that Ernie was taking bets."
"He was," Neville said with a nod.
At her look, he chuckled and looked up to the ceiling.
"Ron spilled the beans."
Hannah swatted at him.
"I hope this wasn't a ploy to help your friend win money off my friend, because I might like you, but Ernie's part of my Hufflepuff family."
Neville leaned down, his nose bumping against hers.
"Ron had his money set on New Year's. Macmillan was vying for Twelfth Night."
"So they both lose?"
she asked with a thoughtful pause.
"Good."
One of Neville's hands slid down her back, and for a moment she thought he was going to pull her into a tighter embrace. But his arms loosened around her, and he started to turn toward the tree. Hannah stood there for a beat, feeling goosebumps rise on her arms from the loss of his body heat against hers. She didn't want him to stop holding her. He said something about decorations, but she didn't want to talk about decorations, or candles, or fairy lights. That could all wait until morning.
"Neville," she said,
interrupting him and trying not to put too much thought into it for once in her life. She closed the small space between them and placed her hands on his shoulders, tugging him down until her mouth pressed against his. His lips were warm and soft, just as she thought they would be, and she swore that she heard him breathe the word, "finally," into her mouth as his hands came around her waist, bunching in the back of her nightgown. He tasted of butterbeer and smelled of pine, and Hannah let her fingers wander up from his shoulders to the hair at the nape of his neck, and then card through the strands along the back of his head. She had imagined what it would be like to kiss Neville Longbottom before, but anything she had ever dreamt of was nothing compared to the real thing, and it sent thrilling little tremors all the way down to her toes. Slowly, he pulled back, just enough to allow for a few needy breaths before kissing her again. The second kiss was different than the first, deep, and caused her heart to race. Perhaps not enough for her to want to fall into bed with him at that very moment, they hadn't even gone on a real date yet, but enough to make her entire body warm with a feeling that she knew was never going to go away.
"I'm going to need to hire a cook," she whispered against his mouth.
Neville drew back, giving her a strange look. "Can't say that anyone's ever said that to me after a kiss." Hannah smiled, her cheeks warm.
"If I'm going to have the time to date you, I'm going to need someone who can look after the pub for me."
Neville lifted a hand to her face and ran a thumb along her lower lip.
"Guess that means I'll need a gardener, for the same reason."
He spread out his other hand, and she could feel just how close his fingertips were to the curve of her hip.
"I suppose Oscar will be happy. I'd rather a new cook didn't experiment with the menus without me."
"Back to cottage pie on Thursdays?"
Hannah gave him a look.
"You sound hopeful."
His cheeks went pink.
"Not that I didn't like the new dishes, of course."
Hannah tilted her head.
"Perhaps we best not talk about food. I can think of something better to be doing with our mouths anyway."
She didn't let him answer, and pulled him back into another kiss.